Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Our first case is 2013-1807 in the matter of the complaint of Nancy S. Tolliver versus Vectren Energy Delivery of Ohio Incorporated. For the appellant, pro se, Ms. Tolliver. Your turn to speak, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Nancy.
If you could adjust the microphone,
okay,
and then we can hear you.
Okay.
Now, was it explained to you that the lights will go on and you are to, you see the lights in front of
you? They right in here?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And that will indicate your time.
Okay, and then am I supposed to say I want 12 minutes and then I'll keep three for rebuttal?
You want three for rebuttal?
Yes, if necessary.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, I'm Nancy. I'm here for four assignment errors before the Ohio Supreme Court. I'm here because I have filed complaint against Vectren for threats of termination due to past PIP payments. And they were going to disconnect me for past PIP payments when the statute basically states that PIP payments are not a part of the arrears. I have been continuously threatened with that disconnection in this case.
So, were you in arrears with your account, ma'am?
No, I had a zero balance at the time. They are saying that I owe PIP payments, past PIP payments. They did not consider that I had a zero balance on my account.
So they said you owed, was it $180?
No, they said I owe $594.74 past back PIP payments.
Okay.
And at that time, I had a zero balance on my account.
Because you had brought everything current?
No, because I had participated in the PIP program. So what happens is, because I came in with a small balance anyway, so when I got on the PIP program, I would make my PIP payment, which would allow for them to erase the arrears, and then I didn't have a back arrears when
I
came on.
And how did they determine what your PIP payment was?
They based that on my income.
All right.
The payments are based on the income.
Okay, so they erased your arrearage, and you just had to, how much did you have to pay each month?
I had to pay $77.
Each month. Your electricity?
For my gas.
For gas, excuse
yes.
me. And that was 12 months?
That was for 12 months.
And then you decided not to do that any longer?
No, I did not decide not to do that. When my charges were less than the minimum payment, I would make my actual charges. So therefore, it kept my balance at zero. So therefore, when my balance was more than the PIP payment for those certain months, I would make that 77 payment, and they would give me a credit for the differences to keep my balance current or at zero, which is really what I thought was the point of the program, is to keep you balanced at zero.
Did you sign an agreement with them for the PIP payments?
I did sign an agreement with PIP payments.
And the agreement was you were going to pay $77 based on your income, but it worked out to be $77 a month for 12 months.
For 12 months.
And you decided not to do that.
No, I did not decide to do that. I decided to use PIP and PIP Plus interchangeably as the corporation and the PIP utility, the public utility, Public Utility Commission does. I use this interchangeably. In the months that my PIP payment is more, I'll go ahead and make that PIP payment so that I don't have arrears on my balance, on the back balance. I didn't have a back balance, so therefore I didn't receive the 1/24th arrears payment that I would have received if I had a back balance.
So
it's two-pronged.
So that we understand what you were doing, and I don't know the whole history of this program, but it appears that the program is designed for folks who are very low income to provide them with the assurance of having natural gas to heat and cook with and have hot water year-round by limiting how much of your income you have to pay the gas company. Is that correct?
Yes, that was
okay.
What they're supposed to do.
But in doing that, then what they do is make that same percentage of your income, you pay it all year long, because in the wintertime, you're getting more than, what did you say your payment was?
$77.
you're getting more than $77 worth of gas in the wintertime, right?
Well, in my case, my incentive credits that they reversed was $130.74 for the whole 12 months because my house has been winterized, and so my my charges were minimal. So during my that time, the wind question, it was $130.74 that they reversed as incentive credits on my account.
Okay.
So therefore, you can see that I hadn't received a lot of the credits. I just received what was necessary. I didn't have a back balance.
But if everybody went in this program during the winter months, mm-hmm. when you're using more gas, and then said, oh, come spring, the only thing I need gas for is my stove or my water heater, so my bill is small, so I'll do that instead. That would sort of wreck the program, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't, because pursuant to the statute which the commission was created by, it states that PIP payments cannot be included in arrears, and my arrears would only be up to my total account balance, which was zero. So even though the PIP payments say if I make the payment on time, because it's two pronged, if I make it on time currently, I get the difference between the arrears terminate or credited. That's the incentive for paying on time. And then the second prong says if I have back arrears, I would get that too. So now, pursuant to the statute which they were created by, it specifically states up to my account balance. And my current arrears would be my account balance, and I had a zero balance.
So you enrolled in the, excuse me, you enrolled in the program,
mm-hmm.
and you paid it regularly.
Yes.
And then you voluntarily dropped out of the program, and then you rejoined, or tried to rejoin.
Well, initially I dropped out because they were threatening me with disconnection, and when I...
Now, how long a period of time did you drop out?
It was like from April, and then I reapplied through the HEAT program.
Yes.
You know, and then they put me back on the program.
And when was that?
I think that was in September.
So when you wanted to rejoin in September, that's when they asked you to make up the
past payments. PIP payment, yes.
Your view that the statute says you can't be required to make up those payments, and it's their position that you are required.
Right.
That's what we're here about.
And that's what we're here today, because the statute specifically states mm-hmm. that total PIP payments, past PIP payments, are not a part of the arrears. Veterans' legal standing is that I'm only responsible for my legal account balance. At that time, my balance was zero.
And what did you pay during the months that you dropped out of the PIP program, April, May, June? What amount did you pay?
I paid my current charges.
You just paid what the small
the current
amount.
Charges, because the past PIP payments that were on the account were removed once they I voluntarily got off the
So the question
first
we
time.
Have to address is whether or not the statute permits the utility company to charge the defaulted PIP payments during the period of time that you were out of the program.
Right. Correct.
Ms. Tolliver, I'm a little bit confused as to the amounts you actually paid, because you talked about being on the program and then not paying according to the program. The $77 per month, did you pay that amount when you began the PIT program until you dropped out of it?
Yes, on the month.
Wait, you say or. When you say or, was that an amount over
$77? No, $77 I did pay in
every
the month. Not every month. The months that my arrears were over, or my arrears was over the PIP payment.
Well, that's the confusion that I have, because according to the program, it was $77 per month that you were to pay to stay on the PIT program, correct?
Correct. That's what
okay.
the program states.
Right. But you're saying that you didn't pay $77 every month, that some months you paid more?
No, I never paid more. I always paid my current charges.
Okay, so sometimes you paid less than the $77.
Yes, when my current charges were less than the PIP payment, because veteran states on there, if my charges are less than the PIP payment, they won't give me an incentive credit.
But isn't that where the problem is, that they're arguing the problem is that when you signed the PIT program, to make everything smooth and make it a regular payment, it was to be $77 every single month, regardless of what the actual charges were.
That's what their program states, but the statute states that's only up to the current arrears.
Okay, so you're really arguing about the PIT program as it was established by the utility.
Yes, and the fact that the utility uses PIP interchangeably, and interchangeably on the month that my charges are less than the PIP payment, they don't give me arrears.
Could you explain to me what you mean by the Vectren uses the PIP program interchangeably?
Interchangeably, PIP and PIP Plus. PIP and PIP Plus. Previously, PIP Plus was only in the winter months, and if you made your current payment, they would reduce the arrears. The PIP Plus says you have to make the payment for 12 months. Okay.
That's what you signed up for.
Well, but yes, but the statute says only up to their current arrears. At the time that they stated I owe past PIP payments, which the statute says is not included in the arrears, they were threatening to cut me off because my balance was zero. So they are relying on a program, not the statute or their policy that says I'm only responsible for my legal account balance, which was zero.
Okay. Well, they're relying on the contract you signed with them.
Even in the contract, if you look at the Ohio Revised Code, it specifically states in the rule 49.0.112 states that you cannot charge me no more than my account balance. The PIP payment has to be equal to your current arrears when your balance is zero. So therefore, they were still requiring the $77.
Okay, and your account was in the there was a zero balance because whatever you entered the PIP payment with, and the fact that you used more gas than what you were actually paying for each month, in $77 months, you were using more gas than $77.
Yeah, very minimum, though, because my total charges that they reverse incentive credits was $130. So it was very minimum that I was receiving
okay,
credits
for. Okay, were
they
going to allow you to enter, re-enter the PIP program and then incrementally pay off that balance?
No.
When I entered back,
I just started paying the $77 back, and I disputed the past payments because the code
said— They offer you a payment plan for the arrearages.
No.
They said you
just
had
to— PIP payments because they put your arrears— They didn't offer me a payment plan for the past two arrearages.
Okay, so they said you had to pay that in a lump sum, and then you could participate at $77 a month.
Well, pursuant, if my memory serves me correctly, the DODD said I didn't have any arrears, so therefore they just started my PIP payment back up without charging me any payments.
I'm unclear as to, you said the, you were in the program during the winter months, and the $130, are you saying over the course of the winter, you use just $130 more of natural gas than your payments would accumulate?
No, that was the only credits that I received for paying on time. The total payments that they said I owed and was subject to disconnection was $594.74.
Okay.
The commission went in and reversed that payment, stating that I would be cut off of that. Instead, if you pay the incentive credits, then we'll reverse those incentive credits on your account, and then we'll make you pay that part back to Vectren. And that's what's sitting on my account right now at this
time. Okay, well, I'm trying to understand. Do you know how much more fuel, if you hadn't been in the program, that you would have had to pay for during the winter months when you were in the program than what you actually paid? Do you know what that number is?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I do know that the credits are the differences between what I would have paid and the charges. So I would presume that the $130.74 is the actual
okay,
credits that
so
I received.
What
plus
the,
my
the,
charges.
The $130 is, if you'd stayed in the program the entire time, instead of what you actually paid during the part the time that you were out of the program, the summer months.
That's what they determined that I had received on my account for that time period that's in question. So each month they said I've got $2 here, $4 here, $11 here, $20 here. And then those were the incentive credits that I had or paying on time.
Ms. Tolliver, that raises a question, because I'm looking at the commission order, mm-hmm. and they say you failed to sustain your burden as to unreasonable or unlawful or discriminatory and arbitrary. You obviously, if you're here this morning, disagree with that finding by the commission.
I do.
How are they being arbitrary towards you? Or is this something they do to everyone?
Well, I was here because I wasn't the only one that this had happened to. I was, you know, a friend of mine had had a credit balance, and they were in fear of being disconnected and taken off the program. And so therefore, when mine came up and they were doing me the same way, I said, let me go ahead and appeal this, because pursuant to the statute, seriously, with the statute, this commission is created by the statute, it said these things can't happen. So when they went to threaten me with disconnection, when my balance was zero, I felt it was necessary to file a complaint, because their actions are discriminatory. They're inconsistent.
What statute is it that you're saying that they are not permitted to charge? What was the number? Do you have it by chance?
Yes, I do. I do have the statute. It's in front of me. It's 490112. I'm thinking, let me make sure I have it. I don't want 490111801B. It says arrears does not include past due PIP amounts. And then 4101-1812-D2B states the amount of the PIP payment due shall not exceed the amount of the customer arrears.
Thank you.
That's per statute. Right.
You've used your time, ma'am. You may sit down. Ms. Johnson.
Good morning. Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, my name is Katie Johnson, and I represent the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for counsel for veteran Andrew Campbell. The PIP program strikes a balance. It balances the needs of PIP customers with the financial burden that the program places on ratepayers who pay the program's costs. Each side contributes. Ms. Tolliver wants to receive the benefits of the program without contributing to it. If the commission applied its program in this way for all PIP customers, it would leave ratepayers who do not benefit from the PIP program to shoulder the entire financial burden of the PIP program.
Counsel, if I may, I think it kind of got focused for me a few minutes ago. Is Ms. Tolliver correct that arrears do not include PIP balances?
Your Honor, there is a number of, I believe the provisions that she is stating are under 4901112D. And what the provisions that she's citing do not apply directly to her circumstance.
I guess I'm trying to put the facts of this case together with a very complex statute, and I think you've all briefed it very well. But it seems to me that when she wanted to reapply and rejoin, they said, that's fine. As soon as you get rid of these arrearages, you'll be a dues-paying member here. Is that what happened?
Your Honor, so it's important to keep clear the difference between arrearages and between past due PIP payments. While the customer is on the PIP program, they are responsible for paying their PIP payments, which is a monthly payment that is based on their income. They are not responsible for paying their arrearages at that time. The arrearages are the past due amounts that they would have had to actually, that they actually owed the company when they came on to the PIP program. That amount does not include PIP payments.
Well, counsel, we're talking about an administrative code section, not a statute.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And the section is dealing with people who were disconnected from gas utility service. She was not disconnected.
That is correct. The provisions that she is citing deal with situations where customers have been disconnected from service and situations where they have been removed from the PIP program.
Non-payment, obviously.
Correct.
She made payments. They just weren't according to the contract, the agreement that she entered between Vectren and herself on the PIP arrangement. Some months when it was convenient for her and her gas usage was over $77, she paid the $77, and then the other non-PIP customers picked up her difference, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And then when her gas bill dropped below $77, she decided not to pay the PIP program, but she would only pay the $60 or the $50 or whatever her monthly gas bill was, right?
That is correct, Your Honor, yes.
Okay. So, you know, getting back to, I think, a point that was made earlier, this program is in place with some sort of research done to figure out how it's going to work, balancing the needs of low-income people and their gas consumption, and then the compensation for the gas they can't pay for by the rest of the customers who do. So those costs are passed on to other customers, right?
That is correct, Your Honor. Yes, in the summer months when the PIP payment is actually in excess of the customer's account payment that would be due otherwise, that is when the PIP customer actually contributes to the PIP program and offsets the amount of money that it costs to support the PIP customer during the winter months.
At any time, if she paid $77 a month for the 12-month agreement, would she be paying more than what a non-PIP a client would be paying, or customer would be paying? In other words, is she paying for more gas than what she actually used during the 12 months?
So Ms. Tolliver's circumstance is a unique one, because her budget bill, her budget amount would actually be very similar to what her PIP payment is. So they're both in the range of $70. So she's really a marginal PIP customer. She has no arrearages. And one of the major benefits of this program is that after 24 months, if you make your payments on time, your arrearages are forgiven. And so in its
How does she get arrearages?
So the arrearages would accrue before she entered the program.
So she comes in with arrearages because she's obviously struggling to pay her gas bill.
Yes, Your Honor. And some customers come into the PIP program with tens of thousands of dollars of arrearages.
All right, but we're not talking about them. We're just talking about this client here.
Yes, Your Honor.
So she came in with $584 in arrearages.
She came in with $180 worth of arrearages. And after the litigation or the hearing took place at the commission, once the commission order came out, after that time had passed, it had come up to $594 worth of past due PIP payments.
How'd
that she
happen?
Owed.
Because she didn't pay her PIP payments, she just paid her minimum.
That is correct. Some months...
Or just her usage bill. Did they subtract what she paid for her usage bill from the $77 PIP payment?
If the customer pays their usage, then it is subtracted from the PIP payment that they owe.
Okay.
So that would be, over the course of those months, it would be the amount under the PIP payment which she would have owed, which she did not pay.
That was the PIP payment less the amount she actually paid.
Yes,
and she still had $594.
It had been, she initially left the program in March of 2012, and the commission's order came out in July of 2013. So it had been about 14 months plus the $180 that she owed at March 12th. So when you count all of that together, it comes to $594.
All right, and so her claim is that arrearages cannot accrue while you're on the PIP program. And if you enter in the PIP program, she said that any arrearages you enter in with are forgiven, but you're saying only after 24 months of successful PIP participation that'll happen.
Right, so each month that you make your payment in full and on time, you receive a 1/24th credit to your arrearages. So after 24 months, those arrearages would be forgiven. She is not responsible for paying for her arrearages directly while she is on the PIP program. However, she must make her monthly income-based PIP payment, which was $77 at the time, in lieu of those arrearages, so that she may receive the benefits of the program.
So you're arguing that when she purportedly dropped out of the program in March or April and only paid the gas charges, which was less than the 77, she terminated from the PIP program, and that's the reason that she owes this money? Is that where you are?
Your Honor, the reason she owes this money is because the PIP program is a 12-month program. And what the program requires is that customer, if they are to receive the benefits of the PIP program, must make monthly income-based payments.
Did she rejoin the PIP program in September?
She did, yes.
So when does the 24 months commence, in your view? In September or prior to that time?
So when she re-enrolled and she re-verified in September, she would be eligible for an additional 12 months of the PIP program if she came current.
How many total months has she been in the PIP program?
The record indicates that she's been in the PIP program since around 2010. So beyond that, I do not have any additional information. Perhaps Ms. Tolliver could clarify that, but I believe 2010.
And she doesn't have the 2 years?
She participated for 2 years from 2010 to 2012. She participated, and she would have been able to have
so
all of
her.
She
would have had no arrearage then at that point at 2012.
Right, she had no arrearages. You are correct, Your Honor. And at the time when she decided to go off the PIP program, she also had no arrearages. So, Your Honor, I would.
Is she in the PIP program now?
As of last week, she was on the PIP program, and she had been on the PIP program since July of 2014.
And since July of 2014, is she making the payments as required?
I am not certain. That is not in the record.
Will co-counsel be able to tell
perhaps
us?
Perhaps the co-counsel could, or Ms. Tolliver could clarify. Thank you.
So this 24-month period, it continues to recycle? I'm trying to find out if she was current in 12. When did she fall behind, and how does she take that 1/24th payment, and from what period to another, and who keeps track of that?
So, each month you receive a credit. It is a 1/24th credit towards your arrearages.
If I understood your argument, you said she was current as of 2012.
Yes, Your Honor, she is current. She was current on her She was current on her actual bill. The place she was behind was on her PIP payments, and that is what the issue is here in this case. She must fulfill the bargain of the PIP program and contribute to it and follow the rules as is required in order to receive its benefits.
All right, you've used your time. Let's hear from Mr. Campbell.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. There's been a lot of questions about Ms. Tolliver's current status under the program and what the past billing was. You know, unfortunately, the record only goes up to about July 2013. I have been informed by the client that what had been going on up to the point the record closed is continuing to go on in terms of the switching back and forth between the lesser of the PIP amount and the actual amount.
So she's still not compliant with a 12-month contract?
That's my understanding. That's my understanding from the client. But again, that's not in the record. I would point you, if you're interested in kind of the breakdown between what she was paying, what she was getting in benefits, and what the PIP payments would have been. There was a filing in the record on July 24th, and that includes the chart that kind of shows from the moment she rejoined the program in September 2012. And what that would basically show is that her total billing and her total PIP payments were quite close. Her PIP billing, or her actual billing, was about $780. Her PIP payments were about $720. What that shows is that the benefits of the program for her are quite small. And that really gets us to the heart of this case. Ms. Tolliver wants to pay less to receive the benefits of the program. I can't fault her for that. I'd like to pay less for just about anything you could throw at me. But the reality is she wants a different program. For her, the budget program, which is just where your annual usage is divided by 12, would be just about as beneficial as the PIP program. If she
was that offered to her?
I believe it was. There was some discussion in the record of
Can you transition from the PIP program if you're midway through the PIP program and you realize that this isn't really affording me what I, you know, that there's a better program out there for me? Can you just, with agreement from Vectren, just transfer over to a budget?
You certainly could. There's no binding commitment.
Why didn't they do that here?
Well, again, if you're on budget, you're paying $786 a year. Ms. Tolliver's kind of strategy of switching back and forth, she only paid $400. So if she has, you know, if she's allowed to do what she wants to do,
so
it would save her $300 a year.
So she wants the PIP program in the months that it benefits her, and she wants to divest herself of the responsibilities of the PIP program in the months where she feels it's not beneficial.
That is exactly right.
All right.
So, and you know, several justices made the point, and I think we need to bear in mind, it might not look like a lot of money what Ms. Tolliver is asking for, and again, I sympathize, someone with a tight income wants to pay less. The reality is, what she's asking for would need to be paid for by someone, and as has been identified, that's other customers. Vectren serves about 300,000 customers in the state of Ohio. 20,000 customers are on PIP. So whatever's done for Ms. Tolliver would likely need to be done for all 20,000 PIP customers. And as Justice Pfeiffer recognized, that could have a significant impact on the program. So if she would save an additional $150, which I think is a conservative estimate, that would equate to a $3 million impact if you play it out over the entire program. So, you know, ultimately what we're dealing with is a question of balance. How much should PIP customers pay to participate in the program? How much should non-benefiting customers fund the program? You know, in the company's view, the commission has to be the body that gets to make those balancing determinations. Justice O'Connor, I believe you pointed out that the PIP program does not arise under statute. This program was created by the commission about 30 years ago. It was affirmed by the court in 83. So if anybody gets to decide, you know, how the program should be balanced, it has to be the commission. So we believe, one final point that I don't think counsel got to for the commission. I would concede there is some ambiguity in the rules. The rules are not the easiest to follow. In April of 2015, these rules were amended and they now clearly address this situation, and they make clear that a customer who voluntarily leaves the program and rejoins within 12 months must make up their PIP payments. So whatever ambiguity was there, it's no longer there.
Do they allow for a add-on each month to address those payments, or do they have to do a bulk, a one-time payment?
They need to do a bulk because the PIP program is already a payment plan. So, and under any payment plan, when you fall behind, you need to make up the missed payments or you're liable to disconnection.
Do we need to write anything different from what the commission wrote if we agree with your position? Or do we need to clarify something in connection with the PIP program?
In my view, Your Honor, I believe the court should recognize that the commission, that there, even if there was an ambiguity in the rules, that the commission is the body entrusted to interpret those ambiguities and apply them to individual cases, and that they permissibly did so here.
So as far as what the commission has ordered with respect to Ms. Tolliver, we're talking about what exactly?
Basically, I would say there's two elements. One is just simply she's not entitled to keep the incentive benefits if she doesn't keep her end of the bargain. And again, if that's not true, I don't know how the commission can enforce its program. And the other part of it is what I've already addressed, which is the requirement to pay into the program year round. I mean, again, this is the only, summer's the only time of the year PIP customers pay into the program and help fund it. In our view, that's entirely fair.
So what's her status going to be if we affirm, if we just do a straight affirm of the commission?
I'm sorry, Justice.
What will her status be, in or out of the program? What's the balance she owes, if you know?
If she wants to be in the program and needs to, the only way she has a significant exposure here is if she wants to stay in the program, because then she has to make up all these missed payments, and that can.
And she has to do that up front. She can't do that over one.
To join the program.
That's the $594.75. Is that
what
we're talking
about? It was that at one point.
It might be something different now, but she can't do it in 24 increments.
No, the 24 increments refers to the reduction of your existing arrearage. She doesn't have an arrearage, again, because her billing is such, she'd probably be just as well.
And if she wants to do budget?
The budget program is available to her. Again, the problem is it doesn't pay the extra in the winter like the PIP program does. So.
To do the budget program, she's still got to come up with arrearage or not?
I don't know off the top of my head if she has a current arrearage. I doubt that she does. So the budget program would simply regularize her bills.
All right.
So
thank you,
Your Honor. We ask you to affirm the commission.
Thank you. Ms. Tolliver, do you have anything further to say?
Yes, I just want per veterans' own rule. PIP participation in the PIP budget, PIP program does not relieve me of my legal responsibility for my actual account balance. And now what is clear is that if I make the payment in 12 months, I'm entitled to the arrears, entitled to the incentive credit. If I don't and I make my current charges and my balance is at zero, I still should not be disconnected, because legally I am at a zero balance. And per the rules, any system would say if you're at a zero balance, you should not be threatened with disconnection. Right now at the day on October the 24th, I'm going to be disconnected for the $130.74 that still sits on this case. Now, the rules are clear. Total PIP payments cannot be a part of arrears. My arrears are zero. Okay. Also, it's based on a 12-month program, and it's two-pronged. If I pay on time currently, I get that monthly wiped away, so I don't accrue arrears, but I didn't have a back arrear, so I don't get the 124th credit. So really, PIP and PIP Plus is working good for me. What's not working good for me is that they're threatening me with disconnection. I got two kids that are sick. Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decisions. Thank you.
Thank you.